Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is Pinchas, or Phineas, or Phinehas, taking a stand for God. It covers Numbers 25, verse 10, through chapter 30, verse 1. In last week's parasha, Rabbi Glenn instructed us on the prophet Balaam and his suggestion on how King Balak could harm the Jewish nation. Balaam's idea was for the Midianite women to have relations with the Israeli men and to introduce them to Baal worship. This would prove successful in that many men of the different tribes took Midianite wives. We were then introduced to Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, who went into the tent of Zimri, who in front of the Israeli nation and God took this Midianite woman for his wife. Phinehas then ran her and him through with a spear, killing them both. Not a very opportune moment. Now, God's plague that was put on the nation of Israel for their infidelity to him was put aside by the actions of Phinehas. Scripture tells us that God is a jealous God, and the Hebrew word kinah, referenced in Numbers 25:10, means jealous, but it also is the same word used for zeal, and we know our God is a zealous God. El Gabor, mighty God, turns away his anger from the Israelis due to the actions of Phinehas. The Lord gives a covenant of peace to Phinehas and to his descendants, a perpetual priesthood, because of his zeal for his God. Phinehas made atonement for the people of God, for the people of Israel, or also the people of God. And God also told Moses to harass the Midianites and to strike them down for beguiling the Jewish men in the matter of Peor. In chapter 26, a census is ordered by God to count all males 20 years and up in each household. This list was 601,730 men. The census was smaller by 2,770 men from the first time. And we can see that due to the failure to follow God at Kadesh Barnea, and only Caleb, Joseph, and Moses are left from that rebellion that were 20 years and older, or 20 years of age. After the census, God divided the inheritance according to the size of the tribes. The inheritance went to the sons, not to the daughters. In chapter 27, we are introduced to the daughters of Zelophehad, I think. You can correct me later on that one, Rabbi. Anyways, whose fathers had no sons and brought a plea to Moses to intercede on their behalf. Moses wasn't sure what to do, so he asked God what to do on behalf of these daughters, and God makes a provision for them. If there are no sons, that the inheritance would go to the daughters. It should be pointed out here that God steps in for these women, giving them rights in that time and in the time to come. The rest of the world does not always embrace that idea, even to this day in some countries. In 27:12, God instructs Moses to go up on the mountain, and there Moses would see the promised land, but he would not live to walk in it, at least not then. Because of the sins that he committed at the waters of Meribah when he took credit, when he struck the rock. Moses asked, who would go before the chosen people and lead them? And God instructs Moses to appoint Joshua to be his successor. When we look at Joshua, he is the one who stood up for God in the promised land when he gave his report, him and Caleb. Other than that, he was a pretty ordinary man, but importantly, one who followed God. In chapter 28, God instructs the chosen people regarding the offerings he is requiring. The offerings would be for Sabbath, for monthly and Passover. Other offerings included would be for the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Trumpets, for the Day of Atonement, And finally, for the Feast of Booths, which we call Sukkot. Some applications we should consider. We see what Phinehas did with for his Israeli nation. He made atonement for the sin of the people. This was a one-time atonement when God lifted the plague that he had put upon them. There is another who made atonement for our sins in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah whose perfect sacrifice by his own blood was not for some and for a day, but for all and forever. There is no greater gift we can ever have than what Messiah Yeshua has done for us. El Elyon, the God Most High, his plan of salvation was from the very beginning and fulfilled by his Son, is the most important atonement that you will ever have. And brothers and sisters, you better be on the right side of that. We also see in chapter 27 the provision God made for women and the role they would play in God's creation. God would use women of great character in the words of his scripture. He used a sinner named Rahab to help conquer a city when she hid the spies. One of the judges from the early Israelis was a woman named Deborah, who led Israelis in a battle when a cowardly general was weak. He used Esther to save her people at great risk to her own well-being, and that's just to name a few. We also see the price of leadership when God sent Moses on top of the mountain to see the promised land and then not be able to enter. God said Moses was the most humble man, a pretty high distinction, and yet Moses let his pride get the better of him in front of the people that he shepherds, and does not get to enter the promised land. This should be a strong reminder to all of us in leadership that God holds us to a much higher standard than he does those we shepherd. It saddens me how often we fail in this area. And I don't just mean those who teach heresy and bad doctrine, but all of us have failed in this area, and that includes me as well. Brothers and sisters, if someone asks you to take a position in leadership, you should think twice whether you're really ready for that. Matthew 18:6, Messiah tells us that if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better to have a large millstone hung around their neck and drowned in the sea. A very high, stern warning for us to remember. One final application to consider. God continually uses ordinary men and women to do his will. Abraham takes 318 men and destroys four armies, uses Moses to lead his people to freedom, used Joshua to lead the chosen people in the promised land and defeat their enemies, used a little shepherd boy named King David to conquer all his enemies. God used prophets to instruct kings and priests at high cost for them. But most importantly, he brought a single man named Yeshua to save all humanity. Brothers and sisters, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, it is always God who does the work in us that we accomplish when we do his will. Not that he needs us, but that he chooses us. Amen to that.